Welcome back to Sports Day, and we have been getting around the traps to a few of the great players from both the Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs football clubs, and the man that played the 11th most games for his club, over 250 games, in fact 253 to be exact. He's a premiership player back in 2016. His name is Dale Morris, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
I'm going well, thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Where do we find you, mate, and how are things back there in Victoria?
I'm living the dream in lockdown, stuck inside, homeschooling, working from home, the works. But you know what? It's what you make of it. So we're making the most of the extra family time and enjoying each other's company, which there's a lot of it.
That's important, Dale. Now, what about the similarities? Do you see the similarities to 2016 to what this group has done so far in the finals?
Oh, there's massive similarities between 16 and now. Everything from injuries even that we've had throughout the year. We've had significant injuries in 2016. We've had some big injuries this year with, you know, Josh Bruce doing his knee and players missing out on the grand final. Even the build-up to the finals, our form wasn't great in 2016 coming into the finals. Same thing happened this year. And then winning on the road in the finals, playing against top-quality sides at their home ground and getting the victories. There's huge similarities. There's one big difference is when we're in 16, we had the physical presence of our home crowd, our supporters coming to training, thousands of people. You could really feel the build-up because it was right in front of your face. You drive into the club, houses, fences painted red, white and blue. So the players wouldn't be experiencing that, but they're still feeling the virtual support. There's a lot of Bulldogs up in Perth that we're finding out, and they'd be supporting them just as much. So it's there's definitely some similarities between the two.
And what about Luke Beveridge? Would he be preying on that and going with the big theme of let's do it again? And we saw him really defend Adam Treloar the other day. He was quite strong in his opinions on that. But as a coach, how do you think he would be handling this situation?
Yeah, Bevo, and that's why I love Bevo, and this is why the players love Bevo, is he's not scared to stick up for his players. So I loved what he did with Ads, even though Ads is new on the scene, but you can see how much he's protective he is of his players. He cares so much for them. So I really do love that. And Bevo, what I do know about him, he will have a theme. He'll have a theme coming into especially the grand final. I don't know what that is, but he will have something. Last week, he spoke about the theme rolling in and having the whole of SA... basically the state against us. So it was a bit of Shawshank Redemption that he had going. So he can think laterally, and that's why we love it, because you don't know what you're going to get, and he will have something for the grand final for the guys. And that'd be the hardest part of coaching, I reckon, keeping it fresh.
Now, nine of your teammates that played in 2016 played last weekend, and Jason Johannesson and Cordy have been two of those blokes that have been on the precipice, on the edge of getting a game and not getting a game, and all of a sudden Alex Keith's available. All of a sudden Cody Waitman's available after concussion. Vandermeer might be available. He's had a hamstring injury, and hopefully he'll be ready to go. Mate, I'd hate to be selecting the team.
It'd be a nightmare for the coaches. You'd want them all to play, and clearly they can't. But every year, every grand final, there are those hard luck stories of players that unfortunately do miss out and don't get to play. And with Keithy and Cody coming back in, potentially coming back in, there are two players that need to come out. So looking at the last game, though, you can't pick anyone who played badly or was out of form, because everyone played so well. So the selectors are going to have a big selection problem on their hands, which is can only be a good thing, but it also brings up the debate on the grand final medal, the premiership medal. Who should get it? Should only the starting 22 get the medal? But I strongly believe that everyone on the list should get a medal. Everyone on the list has pushed hard and has helped that team get to where it is and to win a premiership. So that's my stance on it, but I don't think it'll change because of me, but I really do think that everyone should get one.
Now, reflecting back to 2016 and winning that premiership and ending that 62-year drought, Melbourne are aiming to end a 57-year drought, and the sentimental supporter over here is going for Melbourne. I can tell you that straight up. When you walk around the streets of Perth and you ask someone straight up, who are they bagging for, West Coast, I'm going for Melbourne. What was that like to end that drought from your experience?
Oh, it, words can't describe the feeling. It was absolutely incredible. And come grand final day, if you didn't barrack for the Sydney Swans, you were Bulldogs for the day. And we could feel that building as we went deeper into the finals. And Melbourne would be feeling the same thing because of, like you said, that sentimental support that they are going to be getting from a lot of people. But it helps build the momentum, helped us in 2016 and helped drive us going forward. And I remember looking out at the MCG and over two-thirds or three-quarters of the crowd were Bulldogs. It was absolutely incredible. I don't think it's going to be that far in favour of Melbourne at the ground. I think it's going to be a pretty even split, but you are right. People now have a choice. If you know the footy fans out there, do they go for the sentimental support of Melbourne, or we are a lot of people's second favourite team, so are they going to jump on the Bulldog bandwagon? It's a very good question.
It's not unusual to have injuries at that time of the year, and I believe that you had a fractured vertebra. Is that right? And how close were you not to playing, if that's true?
Yeah, no, that was true. I unfortunately, in the last game of the year against Fremantle, I copped a knock in my lower back, and turns out I fractured the transverse process of my lower spine. And the transverse process is basically the wings that stick out on your spine. So I snapped two of them completely off, which was quite painful. But my main concern after finding out that injury wasn't about playing footy, wasn't about playing finals and hopefully making a grand final. It was, am I going to be okay to be dad to my two younger boys? Am I going to be able to live my life after footy and go run around and chase them and pick them up? And the medical team at the Bulldogs are second to none. They absolutely fantastic. Got me back on the park many, many times, and they were able to set my mind at ease. I had a ton of questions I fired their way, and basically it came down to, you are going to be fine. You are going to play with your kids. You will be dad. That's all good. I said, right, how can I play? And it was basically going to come down to effective pain management and whether I can deal with pain. So we went from there, and we're able to get through the final series and make it all the way to a grand final. And you know, that was my injury and what I went through, but there are so many players in so many other situations carrying injuries and just pushing through and being able to play important parts in finals and grand finals.
I had the same injury, a fracture in the transverse process, throughout my career. And the first 4 days, unbelievable, the pain. But I must admit, after that, it actually did improve. It was remarkable to think that you could go from where you were to actually being able to play footy. So well done on that. I know what you've been through. But I just want to ask about the defensive unit. We know what Max did last week. And geez, Dale, it was exciting. You would have liked that being a fullback, but he was unbelievable. But they've got Jackson, they've got Brown, they've got McDonald. We know Keith is going to come back in. Are you concerned about that forward line for the Demons in terms of the height that they do have?
Well, that's the dangerous thing about Melbourne, is you can't fully focus on Brown, you can't fully focus on Gorn, on Jackson, because they've got all these dangerous players. And then you add into the mix there Bailey Fritz as well, who he plays as a tall, is that lead up forward. He can jump on your head and kick some really good goals. And they've got some really dangerous smalls. You've got Pickett, you've got Spargo, you've got all these guys. So you can't focus on one player. You have to back your system. You have to back your structures, and you have to back your midfield. If your midfield can't get on top and the Melbourne mids are running shoulders out of a contest and have no pressure and they can see everything in front of them and can hit forward lace out, you could have the best fullback of all time on their forwards and you won't be able to stop it. So it's going to take a complete team effort, and that's how we've played so well, is our mids have been, the pressure's been on, forcing dump kicks out of the midfield so our backs can come across and help each other and nullify their tools. So it's going to be an interesting battle, and it all starts in the ruck. It all starts with Steph and Max Gorn in the ruck and being able to feed their midfield and working together. So it's going to be a very, very good battle, because both teams, their mids and rucks, are so strong.
All right. I need some more advice. We got the Brownlow medal on Sunday over here, and everybody's talking about Marcus Bontempelli for the Bulldogs, but I'm big on Jack McRae. This bloke is an absolute champion of the AFL. He's that good. I reckon over the last 3 to 5 years, he's in the top five of all the midfielders that have gone through there. Do you think that he can get enough votes to go close to Bontempelli and maybe take this out?
Oh, he's going to have to come close, isn't he, to get the most possessions in a season? You can't just do that and not get noticed. He does rack them up. The one thing that I really love about Jacko is how tough he is. he'll hold onto the ball for as long as he can to execute a kick to a forward to, until he knows exactly where he's going to kick it, and he gets smashed from pillar to post. He'll go in, he'll cop that hit, he'll go in and win the hard ball. He can go on the outside to hit inside 50. He's got that great balance in his game. So he may even steal some votes off Bont, which could work against Bont. And it'd be great to have a tie with Bonty and Jacko up the top for the Brownlow, but I don't think that's even possible. But he's every chance, just like Bont. Bont, he's got the profile and he's got the everything. Everyone's talking about him, but Jacko will poll. He'll poll well.
Well, we'll find out on Sunday. There's a couple of those Melbourne blokes like Petrarca and Oliver, and I reckon Ollie Wine will be up the pointy end as well. It's going to be an intriguing count. We really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Enjoy the grand final as much as you can, and well done on what you're able to achieve with your footy club, and thanks for your chat tonight.
Thank you very much. It's going to be a great game. The two best teams of the season are battling out in the grand final, and that's what it's about.
Dale Morris, former Western Bulldog defender, absolute star, 250-odd games, and, of course, a premiership player, and ending that 62-year drought. What is going to happen next Saturday? It's going to be very interesting. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. Adam Voges, our WA men's cricket coach, will join us next here on Sports Day.